Return to your homes. This area is quarantined. Any attempt to exit this area will incur terminal force. Step away from the fence. Step away from the fence.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Coronavirus. Funny name for a bug, huh? Corona was a neighborhood in Queens near where I lived. It was also a brand of cheap cigars. And now, it's the name of a possible pandemic. Ooh, it's all over the news, trending on Twitter. All you see are guys in hazmat suits or doctors bent over microscopes or people walking around wearing surgical masks. If the trend continues, safety and hygiene are bound to intersect with vanity and fashion. So I'm counting the days until somebody starts marketing themed surgical masks, huh? Chicks will go for the floral stuff. Masks have the right aspect ratio for landscapes and sunsets and seascapes. Those could be big sellers. If it continues through the election, they'll be plastering them with donkeys and elephants and moronic campaign slogans. Most campaign slogans, no matter what they say, translate to this. I'm a power-hungry, talentless, narcissistic shitbag. Vote for me so I can fuck up your life. Imagine the sales to sports fans, huh? It'll be a bonanza for the NFL and baseball leagues and NASCAR. Maybe help shore up revenues lost by ticket sales. Can't see anyone wanting to hang out in a crowd of pathogen-spraying fans. Although, some fans would rather die than miss a game. All that same shit we see in souvenir shops, plastered on ball caps and keychains and shot glasses, will be on those face masks. Some might scent them with perfume, or maybe they'll infuse them with some kind of disinfectant so any germs that might penetrate the barrier will be killed anyway. Really smart marketers will sell matching scarves, gloves, and handbags. Even smarter ones will make them in high-end materials, silk or cashmere, so you can be safe and signal affluence at the same time. I've done a pile of shows about various apocalyptic scenarios. I call it my doomsday suite. I love doomsday, and most guys do. It reboots mankind's... Notice I did not say person kind. It reboots that hard drive and gives dudes the opportunity to reset our place in the world. The advent of commerce and economics has robbed guys of their roles as defenders and providers. Now, it's about making money and supporting a tax base and a government that hires other people to do that. But in point of fact, they do not. Despite what may be stenciled on the sides of police cruisers, cops are under no legal obligation whatsoever to protect or serve anyone. If they save a life, that's their choice, not their job. Their job is to draw a chalk line around the corpse and take a report. But doomsday aside, Corona sounds too what? Benign. To be death-dealing, doesn't it? Now, Hanta, Ebola, smallpox, was there a big pox? I don't know. Swine flu, measles, MERS, SARS, malaria, yellow fever, syphilis, HIV, tuberculosis, bubonic plague, also known as Black Death. All that shit sounds terrifying. The mere words do. But Corona, not so much. And people are affected by the sound of words. Corona just does not sound scary. Maybe they should rename this germ. Call it Misty Murder or Kung Flu Death or You're fucked forever. Something like that. People hear that, maybe they'll wash their hands and cover their coughs and sneezes. But maybe a good pandemic is what we need right about now. Is the Earth a self-regulating system? Could be. When things get out of whack, it seems to devise things to straighten shit out, which is why I'm not the least bit worried about so-called climate change, which has been elevated to climate crisis, climate catastrophe, and now climate justice. I have no idea what the fuck that's supposed to mean. What, some kind of courtroom in the sky? Do Jack Frost and Johnny Wind sit at the bench in robes and wigs and pass judgment on us and then whoop ass on us with blizzards, droughts, and hurricanes? Some time ago in Los Angeles, the city without a soul, there was a crow population explosion. It was insane. The crows in LA were like pigeons at St. Mark's in Venice. They were everywhere. It was like living in a fucking cornfield at harvest time. Every morning at dawn, just like roosters, they'd crow, dozens and dozens of them. They'd wake everyone up. I wanted to settle them with my 12-gauge pump, but some chooch would surely have reported me, even though I'd have been doing a great public service. They say crows are super smart. It's probably true. I just missed one with a stone I lobbed at him when he was sitting on a phone pole. And from that moment on, they all recognized me as a threat. The moment I'd stick my head out the front door, the lookout would squawk, and they'd take off. But if the wife or kids went outside, they'd stay put. This went on for the longest time. We were living farmer's hours with the accompanying soundtrack. Then, I started reading some news stories about something called avian flu. I didn't think much of it until I found myself stepping over crow corpses in the street. Soon, crows were everywhere, except in the sky. Our sleep improved. The dawns were silent, except for occasional police sirens or car alarms. So the Earth once again self-regulated. How did it know? People love to speculate on doomsday, don't they? As long as we're in it with vast numbers of other people and we somehow survive, it's kind of an adventure. But personal doomsdays, they're not as much fun, are they? Everybody gets one of those, and we tend not to fantasize about them. The agents of doom have a hierarchy, and the power players come in very small packages, microscopic, actually. Germs rule. Plagues are the champions at thinning the population. Wars and natural disasters are just rank amateurs. I can't say I'm that concerned about coronavirus. Doom is the media's second favorite food after scandal, isn't it? Every snow flurry is a developing blizzard. Every tropical storm is the hurricane of the century. Every terminated terrorist is the start of World War III. Crisis, crisis, crisis! It's all bullshit. What is not bullshit are the emails I get from you. And I have one from a longtime listener and patron. He graciously suggested I talk about it in a show, figuring others might share his quandary. Don't I have the coolest listeners? Yes, I do. By the way, all patrons get access to my sage counsel, which is why clicking that Patreon button at thatlarryshow.com is such a sweet deal. This listener's name is Vincent. And here's what he has to say. Hey Larry, been meaning to write this for a while. Recently, I left my job working 80 plus hours a week so I can work on my business full time. I finally landed a client that more than replaces the income from the job. It's great having the time back, but I had not realized how much of my sense of value came from the daily routine of work. At the end of the first week in my office, I was watching celebrity entrepreneur Gary Vaynerchuk, famous for championing 18-hour workdays 7 days a week. When I can go through my to-do list in 8 or fewer hours, I feel inadequate in comparison. Silly as it sounds, I had an anxiety attack and went home soon after. Vincent goes on to say, I'm 26 and along with my brother still live at home. I have little saved with student loans and business operations taking priority over retirement, and housing is extremely expensive here in my region. My parents are in their early 60s, not that old in reality, but there's a lot I want for them before it's too late. I want them to have grandkids and the health to enjoy them for a long time. I'm the youngest of 3 siblings, so I take the least responsibility for this. Not that I wouldn't like kids one day. More pressing and specific to me is making sure they know I'll be okay in general. I'm on the autism spectrum. I don't think it impairs me in any significant way today, but it made for a socially awkward K-12 experience, and my parents were very protective. As such, I didn't go to many parties and didn't have a job until I was 18. I know it isn't an excuse for being such a late bloomer, but I hope it helps you understand. In short, did you yourself ever experience a, quote, mid-20s crisis, unquote? Would you say the solution is more in line with Gary, is this Vaynerchuk or Vaynerchuk, whatever, Gary V with his hustle and isolationist lifestyle, or is there still time to explore new places and activities for a more well-rounded life? I'm terrified of the thought of turning 30 without feeling I truly got to experience my 20s. Thank you, Vincent. Man, you covered a lot of ground in just a few paragraphs, so much that I'm going to backtrack and address your issues one by one. First, you pulling the plug on your 80-hour-a-week job to set up your own business. Here's what I think of that. There's only one job title in the business world that means anything. Owner. The rest are jack shit. No matter how lofty the position, everyone is replaceable. Moreover, you will never achieve the level of fulfillment working for another that comes from working for yourself. Now, about the jitters you got from putting in an 8-hour day, well, that's normal. We all get used to routines, and often when a routine is broken, we feel ill at ease, even anxious, even if that was a shitty routine. I read that some prisoners back in the day when they wore balls and chains actually missed the hardware once they were set free. Just give yourself some time to acclimate to your new schedule and hours. Next, you mentioned that at age 26, you still live at home. So what? It's not like you're some parasitic junkie nodding out all day on the couch. You're an ambitious, productive dude working his ass off to build his own future. And the fact that you are concerned about your parents' future ratchets you into stardom, in my book. One of the greatest flaws in American culture is the lack of respect for older people. Most Asian cultures revere their parents and grandparents and consider them invaluable assets. They've seen some shit. They know some shit. Usually more than younger people. It's simple math. On the flip side of that, Vincent, be sure to always strike a balance. Caring about or even caring for your parents is a noble endeavor. Just make sure it doesn't become your life's purpose. I've seen that happen, and it's always a tragedy. There's a natural order to things. Someday, you will have kids. They should be the focus of your life because they are, after all, your doing. And believe me, there is no greater thrill than watching them grow and thrive. None. But we don't ask to be born, and I'm sure your parents, while grateful for your concern and help, don't want you spending too much of your young life ministering to them. Life is a pay-it-forward kind of arrangement, I suppose. I don't know Gary Vaynerchuk. In fact, I had never heard of him until my buddy Darren O'Neill talked about him in one of his podcasts. A terrific podcast, by the way, that I highly recommend. You'll find it at randumthoughts.com. That's Rand, D-U-M-B, thoughts. Check it out. The dude is the truth. I never miss an episode. So I took a fast look at Vaynerchuk. I'm always leery of guys peddling their one-size-fits-all success formulae. 18-hour workdays and such. Do your own thing at your own pace. If you really love it, you won't even notice the clock. That old bromide, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. It's undeniably true. Next, you mentioned being on the autism spectrum. Well, my wife sometimes likens me to Rain Man, so perhaps I can relate. Whatever the case, who gives a shit? Or for that matter, if you are a, quote, late bloomer, whatever the fuck that is. Again, that's one of America's greatest shortcomings, the relentless emphasis on not just making it, but making it young, before 30. Well, sure, it's easier to make your mark and your fortune before you have kids and mortgages and all the rest, but still, so many people do manage to achieve greatness with all those perceived encumbrances, don't they? I've personally known several wunderkinds that made those vaunted superstars under 30 magazine covers in Hollywood. Two of them are fucking train wrecks. They flamed out and now live in squalor, literally. The only place where youth really matters is athletics. Unless you're a golfer. But are they really athletes? Nah. Now for your final questions. Did I ever experience a mid-20s crisis? Not that I remember, Vincent, but crises were not so much en vogue as they seem to be now. I was, however, same as you, bugged about not progressing with the alacrity of some of my peers. In retrospect, that was really fucking foolish of me. Most of my friends who married right out of school also fast-tracked themselves into divorce, which will fuck up your life. Many of them chased a buck and nothing else. That is a recipe for ulcers, alcoholism, and coronary episodes. Retirement is another primarily American notion, and a fucked up one at that. People who look forward to retirement invariably have shit careers. What a waste of time and a life. People who make a living doing what they love never retire. Why would they? Vincent, now is a great time to go someplace quiet and assess yourself. Really try to zero in on where you find your bliss. And make sure it is only an assessment. Avoid making comparisons to anyone. That'll get you nowhere. You didn't say what kind of business you've launched, but I hope it delivers rewards beyond the mere financial. Make certain it's something that feeds your soul and is not carcinogenic to it. If you do love what you do, everything else falls into place, even chicks. Of course, women are attracted to guys who appear to be well off with the trappings of success, but before you can ever get them into your Bentley or to tour your mansion, they're going to get a vibe from you of either happiness and contentment, or anxiety and stress. And the latter two will repel them even more than the former two will attract them. Right about now, I would normally say good luck, but I suspect you'll be making your own luck. So instead I'll say, remember me when you're rich and famous, or comfortable and happy. That's just as good. Thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Slide over to the homepage at thatlarryshow.com and have a look around. There's a ton more content and commentary and images there, along with a complete archive of 238 other episodes. Plenty of Doomsday among them. And while you're at the show page, be sure to click a subscribe button. Apple, Google, there are a bunch to choose from. That way you never miss an episode. If you want to get access to several dozen bonus episodes where we get a little more personal and contentious, click the Patreon button and help me keep the lights on here. I'll see you next Tuesday or thereabouts. And in the meantime, follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and now Instagram. It's The Best Index. You can see every spectacular episode thumbnail, all handcrafted by me, and then choose whatever show you want to hear. Until that time, my friends, take no shit.